Okay, ladies and gentlemen, Frelich and Chanukah, happy Chanukah to you all. So, you'll notice I'm not making a bracha. I'm firing up this little menorah here because you can't make a bracha when there's very few people here. But nonetheless, Parsume Nisa, the idea is that whenever Jewish people get together, we light a menorah. And since most of you today are watching online, so we're having a little menorah lighting. And this is Parsume Nisa for the seventh night of Chanukah. And the menorah's candles will remind you that Hashem's many miracles are always with us, and that tonight is the seventh night of Chanukah. And I guess when these candles burn down, it's time for me to end the class. Okay. Tonight, in the lighthouse, we're going to talk about, we're going to talk about a little known halachic detail. And the reason we're going to talk about this is because I have found people making mistakes again and again and again. So this is not historical. This is not theological per se. It's not philosophical. It's not even mystical. Although we will kind of touch on that a little bit towards the end. This is a very halachically based class about the legal requirements of this mitzvah. So it's an illuminating mitzvah, it's a radiant mitzvah, it's a beautiful mitzvah, but it's halachic, which means that there are laws, rules and regulations that actually govern the performance of this mitzvah. And no, it's not whatever you want, whenever you want, or however you want, just as it is simply wrong-headed to light a menorah, even symbolically. There is really no such thing. To light a menorah symbolically before Chanukah, because it's meaningless. It's not symbolic. This was a symbolic menorah lighting, because it's a very small crowd here, and the fact that you're online doesn't allow you to make a bracha. So that's symbolic. I fulfilled the mitzvah, Baruch Hashem, in my home, and I recited blessings. Some of you may have seen, I streamed that live on Facebook, when I lit the menorah between Mincha and Ma'ariv, Takanat Beit HaKnesset. This is just symbolic. This is just to kind of continue to convey and broadcast the message of Chanukah. Menorahs lit before Chanukah are not symbolic. They are meaningless. They are birthday candles. Menorahs lit after Chanukah are meaningless. So there's some symbolism that is somewhat relevant or meaningful, but then there is the mitzvah itself. And truth be told, it's really important for us to know what the mitzvah actually is and isn't if we're going to fulfill this mitzvah. Because remember, mitzvahs are not electives, meaning you cannot decide what brings you close to God or not. It has to follow a certain system. The system is put in place by God himself when there are biblical mitzvahs. So then the biblical mitzvahs are in the Torah and the oral tradition that comes along with them. Tefillin have to be black, they need to be square, and they need to contain all of the parshiot, all of the portions of the Torah, and they have to be written in a very specific way, or they aren't tefillin. It's actually that simple. A mezuzah has to be written in a precise way, it has to be affixed to your door in a specific way, and attaching a mezuzah to your car, for example, may bring you some protection, but it certainly will not afford you the performance of a mitzvah. And then there are rabbinic mitzvahs. And rabbinic mitzvahs are kind of biblical because the Torah says that whatever the Sanhedrin says, we have to listen to. So it becomes kind of biblical. And the Chachamim, the sages, when they instituted mitzvot, like the mitzvah of Chanukah, which is by and large the youngest mitzvah we have, they also gave us halacha. And the halacha is something that has to be followed. If we are to fulfill this mitzvah, we do recite a blessing before we fulfill the mitzvah, Asher Kiddishanu, God who has sanctified us, Vitzivanu. And he has ordained or commanded us, lahadlik, to kindle the lights of Chanukah. So let me just tell you the mistake that I've seen people make again and again and again. And it's a mistake that's talked about in the Poskim. And the halachic decisors discuss this. And it seems to be a mistake that people have been making for hundreds of years. Of all the mistakes that I've seen people make, this is probably number one. So if you're joining us now, stay with us, because I hope you're not making this mistake yourself. I've seen learned people, rabbis and rebbetzins, make this mistake, either because they never properly studied this halacha, or they glossed over it. And on the surface, if you don't delve into it carefully, the message is very different. And the mistake is this. Suppose you're going to a Hanukkah party. Suppose it's far away from the house. Maybe it's your parents or your in-laws. When are you going to light the menorah? You have to leave home before it's time to light the menorah. You're going to get home well after dark. And then again, you're not supposed to have dinner or spend time celebrating at a party if you haven't lit the menorah yet. So you pack up your menorah, you bring it to your in-laws or your parents or your children or your best friend, and you light the menorah there. And it's so beautiful. Everybody's lighting the menorah together. And they're all making a bracha, and it's a group mitzvah, it's a family mitzvah, it's a friend mitzvah. It's a bracha levatala. It's a wasted bracha, which is pretty bad in halacha. And worse, you didn't fulfill the mitzvah. Let me say that again. You take your menorah to the Hanukkah party that you're attending. You light your menorah, and you achieved absolutely nothing. How? Well, let's take a look in the Shulchan Aruch, in the Code of Jewish Law. I have tried to simplify this by omitting the passages, the relevant passages from the Talmud. There's a quote from the Rif, Rabbeinu Yitzchak Alfasi, that is helpful in understanding this halacha. There's a ruling of the Rifs of another codifier named the Rosh, and then the way the Rosh is quoted by his son, Rabbeinu Yankov Balaturim. I'm going to keep this simple and focus on the actual code of Jewish law, the Shulchan Aruch, and its commentaries, so that we can appreciate and understand what has to be done and what shouldn't. In Siman Tov Reishayin Zayin, which is chapter 677 of Orach Chaim, section of Shulchan Aruch, that's the first part of the code of Jewish law, we have four paragraphs, four seifim, discussing Dinei Achsanoi B'Chanukah. What are the rules of somebody who is a guest on Hanukkah? The Shulchan Aruch really is a joint effort. The large square letters in the print version were written by Rabbi Yosef Karo, also known as the Mechaber, the compiler of the Shulchan Aruch. The smaller letters, typically printed in what we call Rashi font, are the glosses of the Ramah, also known as the Mappa. There's the Shulchan, the table, and the tablecloth. By and large, but this is not an absolute statement, Sephardic communities will follow the rulings of the Mechaber, and Ashkenazic communities will generally, but not in an absolute fashion, follow the rulings of Rabbeinu Moshe Isserlish. Rabbeinu Moshe lives in Poland. He becomes the posek for the Ashkenazic Jews living in Eastern Europe. The Mechaber of the Shulchan Aruch originally is a Spanish Jew, or from Spanish Jews. He lives in the Holy Land. He compiles the Shulchan Aruch in the city of Tzfat. And so, it's important for us to remember that the way Jewish people were observing the mitzvah in Eretz Yisrael and the way they were observing this mitzvah in Eastern Europe were very different. Why? That's very simple. In Eretz Yisrael, by and large, people lived in small enclaves that were primarily Jewish, and there wasn't that many other people living there. Israel was largely a wasteland. So yes, there were some very unfriendly neighbors of people who were Ottomans who had moved in, or nomads, Arab tribes who moved in and out of the land of Israel. But generally speaking, the Jewish people living in the land of Israel in the 16th century and the 17th century were doing things the way they'd done in the 5th and 6th century as well. Jews living in Eastern Europe, living a very different kind of life. As a rule, people didn't go out of their homes at night. The dark streets were a really scary place for a Jew to be found. And there are many interesting customs that developed over time because of the dark streets and the dangers that were accompanied by Jews walking those streets because of the marauding anti-Semites who dominated much of the municipal city life in Eastern Europe. And because of this, although the Mishnah ordains that the menorah is supposed to be lit at the door to the outside, and in the way it's done in the land of Israel today, and the way it was done in the time of the Beit Yosef, that meant outside the house. The people in the home, by and large, didn't even see the menorah. The menorah was lit at the outside of the home. And, you know, in Israel, it gets cold. People didn't leave the doors open. Why? Parsu Minisa. The point was to publicize this. How long can one light the menorah for? Adikali Rigul the Tarmadoi. In the previous episode, we talked about this and what that means and who were the Tarmadoi and why it was important for them to see it. By the way, they were not necessarily Jewish people. The Tarmadoi, in fact, were definitely not Jewish people. Here's a fascinating little tidbit, which is not really connected to tonight's class, but I'd like to share it nonetheless. Rav Yosef Soloveitchik, who is known as the Rav, the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshiva University, he has this beautiful piece, this rumination as to why there's Parsuma Nisa on Chanukah, but not Parsuma Nisa on Purim. After all, they're both rabbinic mitzvahs, both celebrate the miraculous deliverance of the Jewish people. Why do we publicize the miracle on Chanukah and not on Purim? And he says, it's very simple. If you look in the codes of the Levush, where he talks about the distinctions between Purim and Chanukah and how they're celebrated in such vastly different ways, whereas Purim's focus is very, very much materialistically oriented. It's about drinking and partying and merrymaking, gifts of food, gifts of money, and listening to the story being told, whereas on Chanukah, it's primarily about kindling menorahs and singing Hashem's praises. And so he says, for the nations of the world, it is not a foreign concept for a nation to fight for its existential survival, that is to say, its material existence. The message of Chanukah, which is so unique and so important for the nations of the world to hear, is that we fought not for our material existence, but for our spiritual existence. And that's worth fighting for. There is no prior documented struggle for religious freedom. Although there are many, many struggles for religious freedom subsequent, including, many might argue, the American Revolution. So this business is something, the Rav says, that has to be publicized, broadcast to the outside world. And that's how it was done in the land of Israel at the time of Chanukah and in the centuries subsequent. However, in Europe, things changed. People couldn't have menorahs outside. First of all, it was freezing cold. They weren't used to that in Israel. Secondly, the menorahs would be smashed, broken. People would get into a lot of trouble. And so the rabbis kind of took the menorahs indoor. And because the menorahs went indoor, a lot of things changed. For example, the halacha remains that you can kindle a menorah late at night, long after the time that the Talmud ordains, because at least somebody in the family is still up. It became more of a family-oriented mitzvah, a different kind of parsumi nisa, if parsumi nisa at all. A different kind of publicization, because it was really a privatization of the mitzvah. So how public is that? You were telling the story to your family, you were telling the story to your siblings, to your children, to your parents, to whoever was a guest in your house, but that was it. Now bear this in mind, and listen to what the Mechaber says. So the Mechaber says, Achsanoi, a guest, She'ein madlikin olav bebeso. Nobody's lighting the menorah for him at home. Let me repeat that again. Nobody's lighting the menorah for him at home. What does that mean? It means if somebody's lighting the menorah for you at home, you aren't obligated in lighting the menorah, quite literally. Why not? Because the mitzvah is being fulfilled for you. I had an interesting question that somebody asked me a little while ago. He was flying to Israel. And he said, what am I going to do about the menorah? I said, is your wife going with you? He said, no. I said, what is the question? She will light the menorah and you fulfill the mitzvah. He says, what? Is that how it works? I said, yeah, that's actually how it works. So an achsanoi who doesn't know if they're lighting for at home, they didn't have cell phones. Well, maybe he doesn't have anybody at home. So he's on business. He's traveling. He's staying somewhere. What should he do? So the Mechaber says very simple. Tzarech losis pruta labai labayis lihishtatef. He has to give a small bit of money to participate in the oil. And the Paschim talk about this. Some of them maintain you have to add more oil than was there to begin with. So there's a smidgen of oil added in honor of the guest and in view of the contribution that he's made. However, the Shulchan Aruch says, if he has a door to the guest room that is unique, meaning it's his own private door, his own private entrance, so then he should light in his own doorway. And the reason is not because he needs to light in his doorway. He's fulfilled the mitzvah with the other fellow. The reason is because maybe somebody will see and say, hey, this guy doesn't light the menorah. What kind of Jew is he? Well, if he doesn't, I don't have to either. Or something like that. Even though there isn't really any dwelling going on there, he's not eating or spending time there. It's just a place with a bed. It's before he goes to sleep. V'hu oichel al shulchan bal habayis. He eats at the table with the host and the rest of his family. So he says, nonetheless, you still should light the menorah there. Now, it kind of sounds like the right place to light the menorah is where the people eat. And even though you're going to be sleeping somewhere, if there's a separate entrance, you should light the menorah. And the Paschim explained this is because nobody should think that you're not lighting the menorah. And the same is true. Hu adin leben ha'ochel etzel aviv. So you have a married son or maybe a mature son comes home. He's visiting with his parents. He simply participates in the menorah that his parents are lighting, his father lights. However, if he's got his own separate entrance, he should light there as well. That's what the Mechaber says. Now, it's very clear from the Mechaber, from the codifier of the Shulchan Aruch, that if somebody is lighting the menorah for the guest back home, then there's no issue. And furthermore, it's also clear from the Shulchan Aruch that the reason that he might have to light here is only because he has a door on his own, even though it's just a place where he sleeps, as I shared with you the background, because somebody might think that here is somebody on Hanukkah not lighting a menorah, and that wouldn't be appropriate. But otherwise, if he doesn't have his own door, there's not even a question. Sounds like the menorah is lit where people eat, or at least outside the home where people are eating. The Ramah goes further and he says, V'yeshayimrim, and there are those who maintain, the bizman hazeh, in our times, now in our times would be the times subsequent to the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash and the expulsion of the Jews who lived in the land of Israel, which originally was called Judea and later renamed or falsely named by Hadrian, Yimach Shemo, Palestina, which is the origin of all the fake news of today. So he says, so in Bizman Hazeh, Shemadlikim Bifnim, Jews were forced into exile in Eastern Europe, so we're lighting the menorah indoors, as I mentioned. So then in that case, Yadlik B'mokem Sha'ochel, he should light the menorah in the place where you sup, the place where you dine, V'chein Nohagim, and that's the custom. So it sounds like you're going to eat, that's where you light the menorah. And that's where the misnomer comes from, as well. It says clearly here, you should light at the door, even though he only sleeps there. So sleeping where you sleep is not really important. It's really where you're living or eating. And then the Ramah says, in today's day and age where we aren't lighting at the door, certainly you should be lighting b'makom sha'ochel. So if I'm having dinner in your house, I'm going to light the menorah where I'm eating dinner. That's what it sounds like. Well, it sounds like that until you start to look at the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch. I'll start off with the Magen Avraham because he's fairly concise here. Says the Magen Avraham, b'makom sha'ochel, hainu, that is to say, and this is Sifkat and Zayin for those who want to take a look inside, that's in the subsection 7, hainu, that is to say, bikviot, the place where you eat regularly. Aval misha ochel bebeit chavero, beikroi, somebody who happens to be eating in somebody else's house. He just happens to be eating in somebody else's house. Well, in that case, tzorech lahadlik bebeisoi, you have to light the menorah in your home. Or he says, oisha ishtem adlek asalav, or your wife is lighting. If you have to go somewhere for whatever reason your wife is home, then she lights in the house, wherever you live, in your house where you live. Ideally, he says, mitzvah should be done by you, not by somebody else. Incidentally, from this we can understand that if somebody is traveling, a husband and wife are traveling to Israel, there is a simple way to deal with the issue. You pay somebody to go to your house and light the menorah for you. It actually works that way, as we'll see. Let's take a look at the Taz Magen David. He says, even the Ramah, who says that you should be eating, lighting the menorah wherever you eat, he says, Gam Ramah loy mairi, the Ramah is not speaking, this is in Sifkat and Beis, section 2 of the Taz Magen David. He says, Lo ella b'mi sheyeshlo tamid cheder miyuchad la'achila. This refers to somebody who has a regular place where they eat. The place where they eat, not a place where they happen to be eating. So if a person has a place where he eats, and then they have a place where they sleep, so then ha'iker hu cheder ha'achila, which means that the menorah should be lit not in the bedroom, but in the dining room. Masha Enken, he says, however, Mi sheyesh lo dira be'ir, a person who lives in the city. So let's talk here. Somebody lives in Thornhill. Very nice. He's invited for lunch, dinner, I don't know. He's going over to somebody's house for a Hanukkah party. V'holech pamachat chutz lebeito. He hasn't moved homes. He's not going somewhere else. He's going for a party. So if he's going for a party, v'soid eitzel chavera, he's eating. He or she, by the way, same mitzvah. He's eating somewhere else. Pshita shelo yaniach beito. It is self-understood that he should not leave his home, the yadlik, the bayit, shehu ochosham, pa'amachat, and he should light the menorah in a place where he or she is going to be eating today. It's not the place they eat, it's the place they're eating now. He says that doesn't work. Ella, tzarech leilech lebeito. You're not eating there. It's just the home you live in. You got to go home, and when you go home, lahadlik sham, to light the menorah there. And this is kind of hard for some of us to understand. But if he's ravished with hunger, and he can't. Yes, I can't go home. Are you kidding? I live 20 minutes away. Now I'm not going home. I got to eat. And I'm not leaving here. The food smells way too good. You kidding? I want to go walk an hour and come back. I can't do that. Yitzava libne beito. How will you get the message without a cell phone? I don't know. But he says, send a message to your household, who's not with you, sheyadliku alav bebeito. They should light for you. The solution is not light the menorah where you're about to eat. The solution is get somebody to light the menorah in the home where you live. Do oto bayit shehu soed sham ein dino ela ka'achsanoi shemadlikin alav bebayit. The person who happens to be somewhere is not like the guest who is staying in somebody's house. You're not staying in that house. When you're staying in that house, you can fulfill your mitzvah because that's where you're staying. But you're not staying there. And if you're not staying there, then you can't light the menorah there. The person who's staying in somebody's home for the duration of Hanukkah, well, that's his home for now. And he says, I want you to know that even the achsanoi, even the person who's a guest who's being hosted by somebody, Hainu, he says, sha'achtav achshav tiagam shchivososham. It means he's not being hosted for meals. It means he's going to be lodging there as well. Masha enkin bezesha yochal kan sho shtayim. Somebody who comes and he eats for an hour or two, v'yashuv lumkamo. What if young married couples coming home to their parents or in-laws for dinner? That's what he eat dinner. Well, that's very nice. The menorah has to be lit at home. The Taz says, ein shum svara. There is no rhyme or reason, no halachic logic, no jurisprudence. Shiyadlik sham, that they should light there where they're eating, v'lo bebeito. He says, let me make you understand what this is like. Dzeh hu ki'ilu omed b'shat hadlaka arachov v'yir. It's like a person who's standing at a street corner. Do you have to light the menorah? If the time for Hanukkah menorah lighting comes and you're standing at the street corner, do you just light menorahs on the street corner? Most definitely not. Ah, you've been to a public menorah lighting. Good, we'll talk about that in a future episode. Nobody fulfills the mitzvah with a public menorah lighting. The personal mitzvah of menorah, it's not going to work. De'ein shayich lo shom hadloka. You understand, you can't light the menorah in the street. You have to be in a home to light the menorah. It's a lighthouse. You light in the house. Hagam, he says, and this is what's so fascinating to me, this mistake that I see people making today, in the days of the Taz Magen David, some 4 centuries ago, people making the same mistake. He says, Hagam, shero itik tzat mene adam. I've seen many people, b'shasha ochlem b'sa'uda etzel adam acher, they're going to be going somewhere for dinner, they're going for a party, and they bring the menorah there. Sholchem achar neroteim, they send for their lamps, they send for their menorahs, they send for their candles. V'somchen al hagoa, and they rely on what the Ramah says. The Ramah says, b'makam shaychel, fiddlesticks, it doesn't work. He says, ta'ut hu biyadam. That is a mistake. It's simply wrong. Ve'enom mevinim davar zeh, they don't understand this principle. It really couldn't be any clearer. He says like this, ha'ochel b'beit chamav, a person is going to their in-laws. And he says, even if they're going to stay there for the duration of Hanukkah, he says, if they're going to stay there, even if they have a house elsewhere, if they're going to stay there, that's another story. Because you're staying there. because that becomes your place of lodging. In other words, the menorah is supposed to be lit in your place of lodging. Going somewhere for a meal is not a place of lodging. And as such, there is no obligation in a menorah. You have a question?
One night's sleep.
It's a very good question. It seems to me that one night's sleep, if that's where you're moving in, has value, although it's not even that's not so simple. But that would seem to be the case. The Mishnah Berurah, unfortunately, we don't have the Alter Rebbe's Shulchan Aruch, which would be so amazingly helpful, but we don't have that. We don't know what the Alter Rebbe would say. But the Mishnah Berurah says, B'makam sha'ochel, on the words of the Ramah, in the place where they're going to eat. He says, the Makom achilato ikar, because it's the place you eat. That's overriding. That's what's kovea, that establishes your dwelling, because menorah has to be where you dwell. But he says, but that's only le'inyan achsanoi. That's only with regard to somebody who's being hosted by somebody else. She'ein beito etzlo, who doesn't live there. Or with a child who comes to his parents' home. Avomisha so'ed etzel chavero bi'ikroi, a person who happens to be eating, just so happens to be somewhere. V'yesh lo shom bayit ba'otoyu, has a home in that city. Tzorech leilech lebeito lahadlik shom ner chanukah. He's got to go there and light the menorah. V'mein yerotza lozuz mimokim shesoyed. If he doesn't want to go for whatever reason, then his spouse has to light for him. And he says, take a look in the Bir Halacha. And the Mishnah Berurah says in the Bir Halacha, the mishesoyed etzachavero, a person who happens to be eating somewhere, he says that is not what we're talking about. We're talking about somebody who's being hosted by somebody who has lodgings somewhere else. Avalim holechu v'chol anshei beito lebeit aviv. If the whole family moves in, and this is like to your question, bikviyut al shmona timei Chanukah. He moves in for 8 days of Chanukah. So then he says, then davar barur, then it's clear. Shekevon shesoed v'yashem sham kol yimei Chanukah. Because he's going to remain there all the days of Chanukah, even if for breakfast and lunch or snacks, they go home because they live down the block. But if they're staying for Chanukah, he says, Einu madlik elo bebayit she'ochel v'yoshen shom. The home where you eat and sleep. Now, it's possible that this is when you're actually living in the same city, but if somebody travels from a different city and this is where he's staying, even if it's not for all the days, I somehow imagine that would work too. The kivan she'ein shum odom bebayit, nobody's home. I mean, nobody's home there. Lemi Yadlik, who are you lighting for? And he says, that's certainly the case now that Haheker Libnei Bayit, there is no Parsumi Nisa the way we fulfill the mitzvah today. We don't do it in the outdoors. Mishnah Berurah does not mention the window. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch mentions the window. I don't know of an earlier source that mentions the window. I could be wrong about this. But the window business is a later effort, a late last-ditch effort to try to reclaim Parsumi Nisa. And of course, this is a problem if you're in a high-rise. Or if you have a backing like this menorah where it's at the window, the people out there see it, nobody inside sees it, because now, in our present reality, we were not lighting it outside at the door the way they do in Israel, you're not actually fulfilling the mitzvah or missing the major portion of the mitzvah, which is heker lebnei beito. It doesn't use the word parsum anisa. It doesn't say publicization because it's a private situation, but at least it's noticeable. It's obvious. V'kivon sheyeshenim bnei abayit sham, since they're sleeping there, sham yadliku, because they're sleeping there. I've literally heard like learned people make the mistake. One person I was aware of, Nebuch, she was a widow, and she said, very learned woman, a Rebbetzin, and she said she was going to go to her son for menorah lighting. I'm like, what do you mean you're going to your son for menorah lighting? And she says, well, you know, my husband's not alive anymore, so I want to be for the menorah lighting. I said, you want to just be there? But what about your lighting the menorah? Do you give money? Do you stay there? She says, no, I'm just going for menorah lighting. I'm like, lady, with all due respect, you need to light the menorah at home. It's a mitzvah for men and women. It's just that the mitzvah of Shabbat candles, the woman in the home, if there's a woman in the home, lights it for she and her husband and the family. And on Ner Chanukah, if there's a husband in the home, he lights it for himself and she and the family. But if you're living alone, you have to light all those candles. It's not an option. Going to somebody else for menorah lighting is not the fulfillment of the mitzvah. Even if you participate by giving a little bit of money, because what you really need to do is participate if you're an achsanoi, but if you live in a home, you have an obligation to light the menorah at home. Now, lest you think that this is so obvious and so simple and it's so clear and nobody would make a mistake about this. So Sandra's asking a question. I rent a room in this part of the house. I sleep and eat. Well, if you rent a room and you sleep and eat in that room, you certainly have to light the menorah in the room there. But if you rent let's say you have a bed and breakfast place, and there are people who are renting rooms, and there's a common place where everybody eats, like a hotel, for example, then you can light the menorah. The right thing is to light it where the people are eating, where everybody gathers, not in the bedroom where people only sleep. But if you rent a room and you eat and sleep there, yes, you have to light the menorah there. So here's a fascinating letter from Reb Moshe Feinstein. It's actually funny enough, it's in a different section of the Shulchan Aruch. It's not an Aruch Chaim, it's in the section of Yoredeya in Chelek Gimel, and it's chapter 14 of this. It begins with a number of Yoredeya or questions about Kashrut. But he responded to a whole slew of different questions. So this is in the fifth chapter. He says, and now I will respond to your question of yeshiva students who are in yeshiva, and he says, clearly there wasn't enough room in the dormitory, so the yeshiva was renting like apartments, or basements, or rooms, and different students were sleeping in different places. But everybody would eat together in the dining room. So the yeshiva dining room was large enough to house everybody, but the dormitory, or maybe they didn't have a dormitory, didn't have all of the students in the same place. There are many yeshivot like this. So the students were living in different places, at different rented rooms, and they were coming together to eat in the dining room. And the question was, where should they light the menorahs? The Mokem Achila is Echad L'chol B'nei HaYeshiva. Says Reb Moshe Feinstein paskens clearly, Tzrichim L'hadlik Ner Chanukah B'cheder Hashina. He couldn't be more straightforward about this. Now, obviously, it's not so easy to understand, and it's possible for even learned people to make a mistake, because I presume that if this was a yeshiva, that there was actually Rashi Yeshiva and learned people, and they still reached out to Reb Moshe Feinstein to get clarity. But here's the clarity. He says, without a question, you have to light the menorah in the place where they sleep. Why? He says, because they have like some ownership. They have ksas bailos. This is their place. That's where they live. That's their address. Their address is not in the dining room. Everybody happens to eat in the same place. That's not their address. Says, but you're writing me that they're very worried, leaving burning menorahs in apartments, like, and nobody's there. And then they're going to eat. So he says, fine. So then somebody should be appointed to watch over the menorahs. No, not a problem. He says, that's not a reason to light the menorah in the wrong place, because you're worried about danger. You're worried about danger, so then make sure it's not going to be a danger. And then he goes and he says, Mishain lo bayit klal, a person doesn't have a home. A person who's camping. I mean, nobody's camping today in Ontario, but if you live in a nice warm place, and you're living in Australia, it's summer now, you're going camping. You don't have a house. You're sleeping out in the great outback. You're in the Midbar, and he says, you don't have a home, or if somebody's traveling. This is a very real question. A person, we don't even have direct flights to Israel now. So if you're leaving Toronto, you're flying to Israel, for example, you're going to leave at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You're not getting to Israel until tomorrow evening. You'll be in transit. You have to stop over somewhere, in New York, in Miami, in Frankfurt, in Warsaw, in Paris. You're going to have a stopover. So you catch your stopover somewhere, and then you continue on your flight. You never had a chance to light the menorah. So if you're baderach kol ha'layla, ve'ein l'mishi yadlik b'beis, said the right thing is, by the way, to hire somebody to light the menorah in your home. Person doesn't have somebody. For whatever reason, doesn't have anybody. Says Reb Moshe, that in that case, you're exempt from lighting the menorah. And he says, this is exactly the story in the Gemara of Birchas Hariyah, that if you see a menorah and you haven't had a chance to light the menorah yourself, then you should make the bracha. Now, one second. Reb Moshe says, if this person can light the menorah themselves, why are they making a bracha on somebody else's menorah? So clearly, we're talking about not somebody who doesn't have a menorah. Somebody doesn't have an obligation. If there's no obligation, so then you're not able to make the bracha. And he says, it is clear. Somebody who has a house, and if he goes from his house, and he goes al ezel laila for a night, v'liyir sham So there's no obligation on the house because they're not living in the house. They're living somewhere else. And he says, and there's no question of somebody not seeing a menorah lit over there. And therefore, in that situation, he says, it would make sense that you could either go back home, if you go back home to light the menorah, or he says, if that's where you're living, so then you can light the menorah where you are, or participate in the menorah lighting by paying, because that's where you are actually living. And it seems to Moshe that it would be even a wiser idea to participate in the menorah lighting instead of making a bracha that you might not have to make, that might not be a real bracha. So this is really fascinating, because it turns out that the menorah is not about eating per se. If it's at one place I eat and one place that I sleep, you don't like the menorah where you eat, you like the menorah where you live. If that's where you sleep, that's your address, then that's where you live. So what is the meaning of the Ramo when he says you light the menorah when you eat? The answer is, the place you eat at the place where you live. The eating, the spending time with people, that's called living. Sleeping is your sleeping. So that's not where you're living, but that's assuming you're in a house that has a place where you sleep and a place where you eat. And this can help us understand something incredible that the Rebbe said in Tavshin Memches, in Chanukah of 1987. I remember this very vividly. And this is in an edited talk. And it's in a talk that the Rebbe gave just a couple of days prior to Chanukah of 1987. It was the 21st day of Kislev. It was Parshas Vayeshev. And the Rebbe said that the days of Chanukah are unique and special for the concept of trying to educate children. And the Rebbe spoke about the circumstances, situation of children's education that leaves much to be desired. And he said that's an understatement. He says, the matzav hachinuch is hoylechu mizdarder. Things are waning, not waxing. And he says, this is outside of Israel. And Israel, and he says, it's an eifin amavil. Some of the lack of education that Jewish children are receiving is positively shocking, he said. Lomar batzar, it's a source of tremendous angst and grief, he said. There are hundreds of thousands of Jewish children who don't have a clue of what Jewish life means. They don't know about Torah mitzvahs. So he said, therefore, it's the call of our time that we do what we can to make sure that Jewish children get a Torah education. And then he's made a suggestion. The Rebbe said, I would like to suggest that in order to work on this issue or try to chip away at this problem over the course of Chanukah, that I would like to suggest two things. And the first was that children should light the menorah at their own personal bedrooms. Rebbe had been talking that year about every child having his own chumash, his own Pentateuch, his own book of Torah, his own book of Tehillim, of Psalms, his own sidur, her own sidur, and that the children should be accustomed to praying, saying the Shema, studying a little bit of Torah in their own room, in their own little space. That they're not just part of the family, but that they have their own space. You know, give a child a space. And the Rebbe said they should have a tzedakah box, they should give to the charity of their choice, they should be able to give tzedakah on a regular basis. And the Rebbe said this helps a child take ownership of his or her Yiddishkeit. It's his room, it's his Yiddishkeit, it's his Torah. And the Rebbe said, therefore, it's a good idea that they should light the menorah at their own doors, in their own rooms. And the Rebbe said that this is in addition to all the public menorah lightings, which this emphasizes the concept of the publicization of the miracle, very important. However, in addition, he says, it is nochin lo'oirer, it is proper to inspire and suggest with regard to hadlokas ner chanukah etzel pischei chadre hayilodim. And the Rebbe said that in this way, a child takes possession of the menorah, not simply getting swept along with the family as a family affair, but he takes personal involvement, and that will help him to grow in his or her Yiddishkeit. The best kind of education is a hands-on experience. And the Rebbe said, when they see a menorah that's lit, they light the menorah and see the menorah, b'pesach chedesh shalohem nasa reshem chozak yeseh b'nashem. This makes a much more powerful impression on them, on their own soul, in their own consciousness, and it sears itself into their consciousness with regard to their own room, their own small Beit HaMikdash. Now, if the halacha was that menorahs have to be lit where you eat, and it's all about eating, and it's not about sleeping, this would simply be very hard to understand, next to possible, impossible to understand. But it's not what it says in Shulchan Aruch. And it's clear that it's about where you live. It's just a question of where you live. So yes, the family life is in the dining room and families get together and eat together. But here, because of the need for a child to feel involved, it's not beyond the pale. In fact, it's a very good idea for the child to feel that this is his or her space, his or her room. That's where the menorah is being lit. That's their lighthouse. And there's a lot to develop and talk about this, about the ideas of, you know, eating versus sleeping, where does a person call his or primary dwelling, involvement in our material world, being able to refresh ourselves. These are some of the ideas that the menorah has to illuminate, because the menorah these days, in addition or besides from the public menorahs, which we'll talk about in a future episode, but the private menorahs, the home menorahs, are about illuminating our life. And we're expected to eat in a holy way. We're expected to sleep in a holy way. We're expected to live in a way that is illuminated, in a way that is hallowed and sanctified. And that's what Chanukah is really all about, to light up every aspect of our life. And when your house becomes the lighthouse, and your family life and your personal life is illuminated by Nerot Chanukah, then that becomes the natural platform for the light to spill into the outdoors, to dent the darkness, and change our world forever. And that, my dear friends, is what I wanted to share in this episode, The Lighthouse. I hope you enjoyed. Please subscribe if you haven't yet. Please share this with others, because this is like very basic and important details of how we fulfill the mitzvah. And let us hope and pray that as we fulfill the mitzvah of Chanukah properly, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will grant us the privilege of being able, Lashuv Letzion Berina, to come home and celebrate the rest of Chanukah in Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, as the menorah will be lit in the third Beis HaMikdash, hopefully this Chanukah. And as we say, B'mheira U'B'Yameinu, Amen. Thanks for joining. Have a beautiful night. Chanukah Sameach, Afrilach Chanukah.